Of course, Carol and I got back from Arizona on Tuesday, but we just didn't take it easy since then. Yesterday, of course, was the blessing of the animals that I did at Manikin Market up here, and that was a great time. We had, I don't know, more than 20 dogs coming through. It was just absolutely great fun. But we can do that again. We don't have to do it only on St. Francis Day in the beginning of October. We can just do it at any time, and we might. In fact, if you tell me, could you bless my pet, I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah, so keep that in mind. And just one other heads up, an announcement way in advance. October 4th, 2020 is Feast of St. Francis. It's a Sunday morning, and our new assistant bishop will be here that day. I thought you'd be excited. Was I wrong? Okay, all right. All right, so we want to have as many animals here to bless that day as possible, and hopefully it'll be a pleasant day, and we can meet out there with them. So bring your alpacas and, you know, your llamas and horses and whatever else you have. All right, let me get to the scriptures. I want to look at this one today, the very last verse of the gospel reading. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? And there's something very, very important about our discipleship that's in this, and something that I think, once we see it and grasp it, it'll be a tremendous help in how we walk with Jesus day by day. As I was thinking about this, I, of course, I was praying about it and so forth. And yesterday morning, in my morning prayer time, this thought came to my mind. And that is, I'm getting close to that season in my life where I'll be doing things for the last time. You know, and one of them, which I told the search committee when I came here a few years back, this will be the last church that I lead as the pastoral leader, you know, as the vicar or rector. And I mean, I have a few years left. I'm not, you know, okay? Don't want me to go, do you? Okay, right, great. Very encouraging. So, anyway, I get a few years left here, but still, nonetheless, that's the way that it is. And then this phrase just kind of shot right through my mind. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And even though I'm just the beginning of that season where it's the last time I'll do certain things, as many of you have experienced also, Jesus is saying to me, my name includes the last. I am in the last things. The last things that you do, I will be there. And you will experience things of me that you had never experienced before. You will see things of me you've never experienced before. Well, okay, bring them on. That's what I'm thinking. That sounds great. And what that prompts me to do is to wait on them. You know, whatever it is. And I mean, it can be a sad thought. This is the last time I'll do this. This is the last time I'll do that. But until that time, something happens. Something happens in the soul to receive the last thing that Jesus will reveal of himself in that activity, whatever it is. And in between is where we live. A few years back, when we were still in Pennsylvania, I was with an ecumenical group called Renewal and Reconciliation of Greater Philadelphia. And it became a very large group for a while. And we went to the largest church in Philadelphia, in North Philadelphia, Deliverance Evangelistic Church. And a few of us who were in the leadership team went to Pastor Benjamin Smith. And we said, we really want to see something happen in Philadelphia. And we're looking for a place where we can do 30 nights in a row. And we think we need a larger place because we're starting to have meetings where there were a lot of people coming, and this was a large place. It's a very large place. Just to give you an idea, it seated 10,000. And or they had 10,000 members. So I mean, you know, either way, it's large. And some of you who grew up around the Philadelphia area, you might remember Connie Mack Stadium. You know, the A's played there, and then the Phillies played there. They bought Connie Mack Stadium, tore it down, and put their church up in that place. So here we are talking to Pastor Smith, saying we'd love to see this, and we would need your help. Could we come in for 30 nights in a row? And do you have a prayer team that could help us? And you know, all kinds of things like that. And he looked at us and he said, "I've been getting up at 4:30 in the morning for 4 years, praying that this would happen." We were just blown away. We had an excellent time during the time. Just saw things we never thought we'd ever see. I don't forget how many churches were involved, but it was from Harrisburg to Cape May County. Churches came from there and all that. Well, Benjamin Smith, Pastor Smith, had those years of praying daily, and something happened in his soul. This was an African American church, and these three white guys come in and say, "Can we use your church 30 nights in a row?" And he was ready. Something happened in his soul that was incredible, just incredible. Now that's the lesson that we get from the widow who goes to the judge in the story today in the gospel, who keeps going and going and going. The judge finally says, "Enough already. Okay, you can have what you want." Now, that's not quite the way God does it with us, but nonetheless, she's there. She's had an injustice, you know, perpetrated upon her. She has no money. She has no advocate. She has no lawyer. It's herself going to the judge and returning. Here's the thing that God wants us to know. You may not always get what you pray for, but you will get what you wait for. The thing you hope for, the thing you long for, the thing that you desire, and you wait for it, and you look to God for it, and you think it's never coming, and you keep coming back, and your heart keeps coming back to it. That's waiting. It's waiting on the Lord. And you know what the scripture says, those who wait on the Lord shall not faint. They shall run and not be weary. They shall rise up on wings as eagles. That's what happens after a time and period of waiting, which could be very, very long. Now, that's what happens with us when we pray that way. And you know, here's this woman, this poor woman. I mean, she is, I mean, not poor like she's to be pitied or anything. She has no money, no position in society. All she can do is go by herself. And sometimes we feel that way when we pray. All we can do is go by ourselves to God and keep praying. And one of the things we begin to realize is as we're waiting, is that God is the one who keeps drawing us to ask. And what's underneath that is this: the thing that we desire so much, the thing that we want to see happen in our lives so much, God wants it to happen in our lives more than we do. Just absolutely more than we do. Much more, infinitely more than we do. So then that raises the question, well, if God wants it so much, what are we waiting for? Why is this taking so long? And this is what happens. There is the desire that we have. We can assume, I think rightly, that it comes from God, that God has prompted us to ask for whatever it is we're asking for. And it is bigger than what our soul is currently able to hold. So the time of waiting is a time of increasing the capacity of your soul so that you can receive the promise that you've heard. That's what happened with Israel. When Israel went from Egypt into the wilderness, they needed the wilderness time to expand their spiritual capacity before they could go into the promised land. when you start asking God for something that you really desire, you desire it so much you almost can't describe what it is, you know that God has given that to you. There is a period, which could be very long, in which your soul is expanding to receive what has been promised. Sometimes that's called a wilderness. Now, this woman who was going to the judge, she knew what it was to ask, and she kept on asking and asking. And during that period of her continued asking, she was transformed into someone who was always asking into someone who could receive. Those are two different things. And in our waiting, we are transformed into people who thirst for and desire the things of God, and then we're transformed into the kind of people who can receive those things of God that we have yet to receive. I mean, whatever it is. I mean, you this morning might be actually longing for something that you've asked for over and over and over again. And you're wondering, why doesn't God like me? Why is God punishing me? Why is God doing these things to me? Well, it's not punishment, and it's not that you're on the outs with God. It is God is blessing you with a soul that will have the capacity to receive what you have been longing for. That's why I say, you may not get what you pray for, if you pray for it and then let it go, but you get what you wait for. Now, for some of us, that's a discipline that can be hard to do. I mean, how do you feel when you get behind somebody in your lane when you're driving and they're going too slow? Do you have a little trouble waiting there? That's right. Or something else, customer service, you have a little trouble waiting, you know, to actually talk to a human being, things like that. We don't naturally wait. And yet, that's what God asks us to do, to wait on Him. And the reason for that is that we have a soul that's this big, that's asking for something that's this big. And that's what Jesus wants you to have. Now, some of us think, well, you know, I've been through a lot in life and I'm at the place where I want to kick back for a little while. And I know that feeling very deeply. And then the scripture comes to mind. And in that day, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your old ones will dream dreams. That is not your old ones taking a nap after lunch or at another time of the day. That is the old ones receiving from the Spirit of God the dreams of the kingdom that were written on your heart before you were born. And they're coming again. They're coming one more time. And this time you have a soul that is able to receive the content of that dream and hold more of it than you were ever able to hold. That's what's happening. That's what happens when you pray. You put yourself in the position to have a soul that's bigger than you have now. Now, what I'm going to do this morning is ask you to consider that. Ask you to consider how you might continue that. Actually, cooperate with God in that. And I have a few suggestions for you that you might carry into this week as to how that might go. And I want you to keep this thing in mind. Sometimes when you're waiting, it can be discouraging. Or you feel a prayer's not being answered, and you think, oh, this is just not working. And so maybe you drag yourself to church, and you're thinking, I don't feel like really praising God today because I'm waiting. And I'm kind of discouraged. And my prayers haven't been answered. And it's just not working out. And all of that. Like we sang just a minute ago. You know, I prayed and prayed, but the answer never came. I'm just not up for it. Don't want to do it. Well, I want to encourage you in this way. You do not praise God because you're emotionally in the place to do it. You're not praising God because you're all happy, clappy, and ready to go. You're praising God because of what's coming. You're praising God because of the promise that is on its way. You're praising God because He's making you able to receive the things that He has spoken of, and it is coming. The kingdom is coming, and that's why we praise Him. You don't forget about praising God because of what's happened in your past. You had a bad church experience. Something else happened. There was a relationship that was sabotaged. You got the short end of the stick. Things didn't work out. You had an accident you thought you didn't deserve, whatever it might be. And so, you know, that happened to me, and I'm not going to praise God. Well, you don't not praise God because of that happened. You praise God because of what He's going to do. Even if you don't know exactly what He's going to do, you know He's a God who's going to do something. You know He's a God who's going to set all things right, who's going to restore all history and all creation in Jesus Christ. You know that the things that are wrong are going to be made right, and the things that are wrong in your life are going to be made right. And that's why you keep praising God. That's what happens in your soul as the capacity of your soul is being expanded. You praise God because God is worthy of being praised, not because of what's going on in your life. Although I got to admit, when it's going good, it's a little easier. And that's all right. Anything that makes it easier, I say run with that. But when it's not easy, the praise still comes to Him. Because that's what increases your soul. Now, I want to ask you to take up this challenge. It's not a big one, but it might be something that you've never done before. Would you at least one time this week, during this week, at least one time, you can do more than one, I hope you will, but one time at least, just offer God praise because He's worthy of it. Just praise God to praise Him. However you want. You can walk out in your backyard and hope that nobody's looking and do something real loud. You can do it in the silence of your own heart. Whatever, while you're driving along, you can say, Lord, You are worthy of my praise. You remember that song we sing? You are worthy of my praise. Or whatever, some other song that comes to mind that we sing here. Whatever it is, just praise Him because He's worthy of that. The result will be the capacity of your soul will increase, and the things you're looking for, hoping for, will be things you would be able to receive at some point in the future. Is there something you're hoping for today? Something you've longed for? Something you've been praying for? Keep praying for it. And then add into just praising God sometime. Once. Now, if you try it this afternoon, you might find you want to try it again tomorrow. And then Tuesday. And then Wednesday. I say go as often as you can doing that sort of thing. Just letting God have your praise. Now, as you do that, because this is one of my favorite subjects, I would just love to know how that goes. You can send me a text or an email or give me a call or whatever. Get out your carrier pigeon, put the note on, send it to me. Whatever, I would just love to hear how that goes for you. Let me know. All right, would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank You that You answer our prayers, and that You answer our prayers by transforming us to be ones who can walk in the answers. We ask that today You would draw us more deeply into that, more fully into that, so that we may walk like You walk all the days of our life. Amen.